In every job that must be done, there is an element of fun. You find the fun, and snap! The job's a game. And every task you undertake becomes a piece of cake, a lark, a spree. It's very clear to see that a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down, the medicine go down, medicine go down.
To all who come to this happy place, welcome. Disneyland is your land. Here age relives fond memories of the past, and here youth may savor the challenge and promise of the future. Disneyland is dedicated to the ideals, the dreams, and the hard facts that have created America, with the hope that it will be a source of joy and inspiration to all the world.
So today's episode is going to be a little different. We're going to take a look at what fits where in the Magic Kingdom of Disneyland, as well as California Adventure, with everything that they're adding into the park. But I wanted to first look at Disneyland. What I've been noticing is that it seems as if there's a lot of parts of the park where things just don't fit. At least not like they used to in the same areas. I don't think Main Street has any issues. I don't think New Orleans Square has any issues. Yeah, it's pretty good. I don't think that Adventureland really has any problems right now, except for a lack of walking room. Frontierland seems to be pretty good. There's a few things I might change. Critter Country, half of it works, and I'll talk about that later. Fantasyland, I think it all works, and Toontown is good, but I have some ideas on how to make Toontown better, which means not having it be the same as it is. And finally, Tomorrowland, that's just, we'll get there later. But I want to start with Main Street, and we're going to take a look at everything one land at a time. Basically each attraction. So I've got my handy dandy map with me, and we're gonna take a look at what's in Main Street now and what actually fits in Main Street. So if we look at the list of attractions in Main Street, we've got the Disneyland Railroad, which I'm not gonna argue about because that goes through each of the lands of the park, and it acts more as a transportation to take you from one magical realm to the next. Let's see, you've got the Main Street Cinema, which, to me, that fits in perfectly. I mean, it would make sense to have, like, a small cinema in Main Street. In fact, the only Main Street road near me that doesn't have one is in Bothell. Edmonds has it, so, I mean, you know, take it or leave it. The Main Street Vehicles, now, I think all of those work. The fire engine, the horse-drawn carriage, the horseless carriage, and the omnibus. I think all of those are great. I don't use them, but I think they're needed. And they add atmosphere. They add energy to Main Street. There's the Disney Gallery. And I honestly wish it was back where it used to be. It used to be in New Orleans Square, and it fit better there. It gave New Orleans more than two attractions, and it had a lot more, I don't know if it had more room to work with, but it felt better when it was in New Orleans Square than in Main Street. It kind of works in Main Street, but it would be better in New Orleans. There's the Disneyland Story featuring Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln, and I like how this map is from May of 2010, and it says new next to that, where we all know Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln is not new, neither is Disneyland Story. That said, I think it's a good attraction. It's not one that I go to on every trip, but it's one worth having. Restaurants. Blue Ribbon Bakery is going bye-bye. It's moving down the road into what was the I think Plaza Pavilion, maybe? I think that's where it's going. But it's going to be a Jolly Holiday Bakery, and the time period definitely fits, so I say go for it. Although some would argue that Jolly Holiday is Mary Poppins, and Mary Poppins is in London, so it doesn't work. Carnation Cafe is expanding with this. The ice cream parlor is going to get more. The Main Street Cone Shop. Where is... Okay. I didn't even know that existed. I don't think there's any point in having two ice cream places on the same place. There's the Plaza Inn with Minnie and Friends breakfast. And Coke Corner, or as they like to call it, Refreshment Corner, but everyone knows it is Coke Corner. And I think that that's good. We're actually listening to the piano from that area right now. And one of my favorite things about that is that you have the characters come and do musical chairs with kids at different times of the day. You get Alice and the Mad Hatter, and I think Mary Poppins and Bert will probably join in when the bakery opens, which will be just about right next door. Overall, I think Main Street is pretty set in its ways. Now, I define Main Street the same way that Disneyland does. I define Main Street as going from the park entrance until basically the other side of the road. If you're looking at the map, between Partners and the castle, there's the curb. I feel like that curb is where Main Street ends. Now on to Adventureland. So Adventureland has a relatively, actually very small amount of things actually in there now. It's got currently the Enchanted Tiki Room, presented by Dole. And that's classic. The music was written by the Sherman Brothers, who were influential in Disney history. And I don't think there's any reason to get rid of the Tiki Room. And from what I understand, people like the way it is at Disneyland much more than the under new management that used to be at Disney World. So it sounds like this will be a classic to stay. The Indiana Jones Adventure is also in there, and that is the only one in this area with fast pass and single rider capabilities. And it says closed captioning. I don't really understand how that's possible, but I haven't needed it. So, that said, I think that Indiana Jones really fits the area well, and I don't see any reason for it to leave. I do think it would have been really nice if they could have done the Indiana Jones subland within Adventureland, and I'll talk about that in another episode sometime. Would have been really neat. That's all you really have to know about it. Besides that, you've got the Jungle Cruise, which, let's face it, that's not going to go anywhere anytime soon. And it's a great attraction. There's no reason for it to go anywhere. And then you've also got Tarzan's Treehouse, which I personally like. It definitely fits the theme of Adventureland, but there are a lot of people who would say, no, get rid of it, it doesn't fit. I disagree with them. I think that it fits the area. And then for the restaurants, you've got the Bengal Barbecue and the Tiki Juice Bar, which I think that's where you get the Dole Whips, maybe? Yeah, that's where you get the Dole Whips. And then, apart from that, the only other thing I can think of with Adventureland is when the bakery reopens, since it shares a kitchen with what used to be the Tahitian Terrace, reopen the Tahitian Terrace, do what you need to inside, and then reopen it. So, I'm going to kind of go through the map the way I go through a day at Disneyland. So, the next area we're going to talk about is New Orleans Square. Pirates of the Caribbean, I think, really fits the area, not necessarily because pirates fit in New Orleans, but because the exterior, the facade, is made to fit its surroundings in New Orleans Square, and the Haunted Mansion definitely fits as well. That mansion definitely fits New Orleans Square. a lot more than its counterpart in the Magic Kingdom in Florida does in Liberty Square. I think Disneyland got it right with the Haunted Mansion, and I think Disney World got it wrong. Other than that, you've got the Blue Bayou restaurant, which is amazing. Above that, you have Club 33, which isn't even on the map. You've got the French Market restaurant, the Cafe Orleans, and the Royal Street Veranda. And, I mean, a whole host of shops. It's kind of like a miniature Main Street, but not close to Main Street. And it actually houses two of Disney's most popular attractions ever. So I think it would be foolish to try to get rid of New Orleans Square. So that said, let's move on to Critter Country. So in Critter Country, we've got technically three attractions, although in my opinion, you really only have two. I always count the canoes as more of a Frontierland attraction with just its dock being over there. But it's listed as Critter Country. I think that the canoes should be listed as Frontierland, though. They fit Frontierland much, much more. Splash Mountain has Fast Pass and Single Rider and is one of my favorite attractions in the entire resort. And it definitely fits the area. I mean, I think it's thanks to Splash Mountain that Critter Country even got its name, so, I mean, no reason to get rid of it. And actually, interestingly enough, if you have seen Song of the South, you'll know what I'm talking about, but after having seen Song of the South, the ride makes a lot more sense. So, I'll talk about it more when I do a Song of the South episode, but in the meantime, just know that you really do need to try to get your hands on a copy so that you can see it. I do not condone downloading it illegally or purchasing a bootleg copy. I know that if you live in Seattle, Scarecrow Video has two copies of it for rent, one on Laserdisc and one on PAL VHS. So I really recommend trying to get your hands on a copy to see it at least once. It's a wonderful movie. But that aside, let's see, you've got The Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh. Now, here's my beef with that. I believe that at Disney World they replaced Mr. Toad with it, and I know a lot of people got upset about that. But in all honesty, I really think that if Pooh has to be at Disneyland, that A, we should have got the same version that Tokyo got, and that B, it should be in Fantasyland, because a teddy bear doesn't really fit with real animals. Country bears fit much more. That said, at least it's a bear, whether he's a toy or not, so it does kind of work. So let's just look at Frontierland, shall we? So in Frontierland, we have the Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, which, I mean, it definitely fits the theme of the area. Let's see, you also have the Pirate's Lair on Tom Sawyer Island, and that only came about thanks to the pirate craze with Pirates of the Caribbean, the movies doing so well, corporate synergy and all. And in my opinion, Tom Sawyer Island itself works. The pirate theming is a bit of a stretch, though, especially with the map showing the movie Skull and Crossbones instead of the ride one. Let's see. You have the Frontierland Shooting Exposition, which is just a shooting arcade, and being against guns myself, I honestly don't like that attraction. I think it should go because it kind of tells kids, oh, guns are okay, at least in my opinion. I don't think Disney should be advocating that guns are an okay thing, so get rid of that. The Mark Twain Riverboat and Sailing Ship Columbia are total fits on the Rivers of America. Basically anything involved with the Rivers of America fits the theme of Frontierland to a T, and I really love the new theming they did around the river itself. You have the Big Thunder Ranch, which is kind of a joke. The only thing I went up there for my last trip was just to see Woody. And the Golden Horseshoe Stage with nothing worth having, at least in my opinion. I mean, I appreciate its history, but I think they could do some much more entertaining things in there it'd be kind of nice to have a group the same group that performed Woody's Roundup on the CD for Toy Story 2. I think that'd be kind of nice. The restaurants, I think, are all really good. Now, there's rumors that they're going to be doing a new Frontierland expansion, which I am totally for. I don't think Western River Expedition is a possibility at this point because it's been out for so long, but I would definitely support it if they were to do it because that one looked amazing. I think it might even be on the D23 concepts calendar. I'll take a look at that again some other day and see if it is. But I definitely support a Frontierland expansion. You can only have positives with that, right? So, with all that said, I kind of feel that pretty much everything in Frontierland works. Except for the one blatant theme breaker, which is where they had the Hunchback of Notre Dame show for a while. It's in the back of Frontierland. That thing must go no matter what. I don't care what happens. Bulldoze it. I had bad experiences at the park 2 trips ago thanks to that area. So I don't care what anyone says. That festival arena must go. Okay, Fantasyland time now. Okay, so as I'm sure a lot of you know, Fantasyland has a whole host of attractions, so this might take a while to go through all of them. Alice in Wonderland, definitely good, one of the best attractions, but they need to fix the outdoor portion of it with those stupid tarps that were put up last summer. That part just looks awful, and I can't believe it even got past the design phase. So when they get that done, I'll be very happy. Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique, that's not an attraction, that is a shop. Get rid of it though. It's too girl-centric, you need to have stuff the whole family can enjoy. I don't know any guys that want to get a makeover to look like a prince. So get rid of that. The Casey Jr. Train, which actually shares an attraction pad with Storybook Land, keep that. I like it. It works. It's small, you can't really do anything there anyway. Let's see, the Dumbo Flying Circus, good. Princess Fantasy Fair, now here's the kicker. This we talked about in the last episode. The Fantasy Fair is moving out of the Fantasyland Theater. And I'm looking at my guide map, and it shows that that area that it's moving into, the Carnation, or the Plaza Garden stage, that area has always been zoned as Fantasyland anyway. It's highlighted pink on my map that I'm looking at right now. So I see no reason to be mad about where it's going. I don't mind a princess meet and greet, especially if they put the princes out there with them. But either way, it's a quaint little village, so that'll be good. King Arthur's Carousel is good. The Tea Party is a nice small attraction. You can't really do much there. And in my opinion, the Disneyland version is better themed than the Disney World one. And that's just looking at pictures from Disney World. I haven't actually been there, so I can't say for certain. Mr. Toad, Peter Pan, Pinocchio, and Snow White. So all the dark rides, I think they're all good. You've also got Small World, Pixie Hollow, which is out in front of the castle. And you've got the castle walkthrough itself, which I think is good. And you have one restaurant in the whole area, the Village House restaurant. So the one thing that I think they should do is either put a new show in the Fantasyland Theater after they move the princesses out, or bulldoze that whole area because it is quite a large attraction pad. It doesn't really look like it on the map they give you because they don't want to point out how big that area is. But if you look at an aerial view from Google Maps or Bing Maps, you can see just how big that pad is. And they could easily fit 2 or 3 more dark rides in that area. So if they were to do that, I would support a Beauty and the Beast dark ride or maybe even a sub-French village where you have Beauty and the Beast, Hunchback of Notre Dame, and that mainly just so we can get a facade of Notre Dame herself. I mean, that would just be beautiful. And because the music out of Hunchback is my favorite music of any movie after Lion King. It's just great score and soundtrack. And some other ideas that have been in my head were Mary Poppins could get an attraction, but she's going to have that one bakery, so I don't know if she needs one now. But I would love to have Rapunzel's Tower represented somehow, and better than it is right now. Right now, it is merely just a cheap meet and greet facade that they put up. I think they spent about a week on it, kind of thing. Didn't really do much. It doesn't look all that great. It looks okay, but Disney can do a lot better. So, that said, Rapunzel's Tower is truly gorgeous in the movie, and I think they need to do it justice and put that tower in the park. It's small. Even if they put it up by the old Skyway loading area, I think they have an opportunity up there. But I think you'd be hard-pressed to find anyone who wouldn't agree with me that Rapunzel's Tower needs to be included in Fantasyland. And now that all said, I think it's time to talk about the Matterhorn. I think it fits, especially because the way Disneyland's Fantasyland attractions are themed, it feels like you're in an alpine village looking up to the Matterhorn, so I think it works. Now there are a couple more areas of Fantasyland that could use some expansion pad. For instance, the motorboat cruise area. I think that could have a small expansion on it. I don't know what you would put there, but you could do something. I would love to get the Beauty and the Beast restaurant that Disney World is getting right now too. I think a lot of people would agree with me that that one would be a really fun new restaurant, especially when our Fantasyland only has one restaurant anyway. So, considering all that, I think it might be time to move on to Toontown. So, in Toontown, a couple of things that you have are the Chippendale Treehouse, the train station, Donald's Boat, Gadget's Go Coaster, Goofy's Playhouse, Mickey's House, Minnie's House, and the Roger Rabbit cartoon spin. I honestly think Toontown is an okay area. They could definitely do more with it. For instance, they could take the Mickey's PhilharMagic and put it in Toontown. I think that would be a really good fit. And apart from that, the main thing with Toontown is that it takes up a decent chunk back behind Disneyland that I think they could use for something else. And while I'm not positive where I would put it for certain, I honestly think that because of the retheming going on at California Adventure, Toontown actually would do better over there to be part of its new expansion. They've got the 1920s LA, the 1930s and 40s Hollywood, and I think that it would be really cool to have Toontown over there, but I'll talk more about that when I get to California Adventure later, because I've got a lot to say about that. So, that said, I think all the attractions in there are good, maybe not Chippendale's House. I do think it'd be really cool if they could put something with the afternoon cartoon shows in, you know, DuckTales. I think that was one of the most amazing shows ever, and I can only imagine how much fun it would be to dive into Scrooge's money vault. I've always imagined doing that myself, and I think it would be a very fun thing. So, Toontown as a whole works, but I don't think it is in the right place. So, that said, it's time for that big doozy of a land, Tomorrowland. Okay, Tomorrowland. Now, this is largely the reason that I played Walt's opening day speech at the beginning of this episode. Because he wanted it a promise of the future in Tomorrowland. Well, currently we have Astro Orbiter. That's a spinner. Take it or leave it, whatever. It was more thrilling when it was up on top of the People Mover tracks, which, from what I hear, are going to be going away pretty soon. Autopia, which is no more futuristic than Rush Hour Traffic. Buzz Lightyear Astro Blasters. Isn't Buzz Lightyear a toy? So how's that futuristic? The monorail, which, I mean, they use it for transportation, so I'll keep it, and same with the train, I'll keep it. Finding Nemo Submarine Voyage. In its original form, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, it worked. Submarines weren't all that common yet, and it was good. Submarines are no longer futuristic. And, I'm sorry, Finding Nemo, isn't Nemo a fish? And, even with the slight... Ooh, it fits theme because it's a talking fish and fish can't talk yet. That doesn't look like a promise of the future, that looks like a negative future. Let's see, you've got Captain Neo, which doesn't really perform much in the numbers. Interventions, which seems to be the only area that actually in concept fits Tomorrowland. Space Mountain, which is a great attraction. The Starcade, which, if we have to have an arcade, can we move it to Downtown Disney and make it Flynn's Arcade? Booyah. And Star Tours. Which, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't Star Wars a long time ago? Not in the distant future. As for food, you know, whatever, those are all good. So, what I would do with Tomorrowland is take that Tron attraction that's rumored for Shanghai and put it in where Interventions is now. Put Interventions in where the Starcade is now. Starcade out in Downtown Disney themed to Flynn's Arcade. Star Tours, fine, whatever. It's a good attraction. I'll give it that. It just doesn't fit the theme very well. Autopia, they either have to get rid of it completely, move it to Cars Land, or the only other thing I can think of they can do with it is make it a better fuel for the cars. Right now they're running on Chevron. It's either gas or diesel, and it reeks over there. I think they should change it to be a more green gas, something that'll be better for the environment. They could either have them water-powered, fully electric, solar-powered. The sky's the limit there. I know the Imagineers can think like that too. So I think they need to do that. With the new Interventions, they need to make it be more popular and better executed. So technology that we can't just go to Best Buy and pick our own copies of. Space Mountain will stay. Buzz Lightyear, I would... I don't know how I would change it, but I don't think it's right to be Buzz Lightyear because he's a toy and he isn't really futuristic. I think there's other things you could do in that same area. The People Mover tracks, from what I hear, are coming down. I wouldn't mind a Tron light cycle ride up there. That won't happen, but I wouldn't mind it. The Astro Orbiter, I want it higher up than it is because it's not a thrill at all right now. It's actually not even close to scary either. Right now it's just whatever. So this is pretty much how I feel about Tomorrowland. There's just so much that needs to go. I mean, that land needs work in order to fit themes. The Imagineers know it. You and I know it. I don't know why they haven't done it yet. Tomorrowland 98 was probably the worst thing that ever happened to Tomorrowland. At least they already fixed a couple things, like putting something in the subs, opening Buzz Lightyear, because Rocket Rods was such a fail. The concept was good, but it didn't do so well. And at least Space Mountain is white again instead of the ugly brown that it used to be for so long. Other than that, I mean, I think you'll all agree with me that Disneyland's Tomorrowland is in huge need of work. And it's one of those things that's going to be about as big as the Paradise Pier changes in DCA right now. So, that said, I want to just briefly touch upon the entertainment offerings at Disneyland. You have Mickey's Sensational Parade, which is phenomenal. I hope that lasts for a few years in case I'm not able to make it down until 2012 or 2013. And you also have Fantasmic, which is weekends and then during peak seasons, so spring break, summer, and Christmas time, it's every night. And Fantasmic is one of the best attractions that Disney has ever done. It still wows guests at Disneyland. I don't think Disney World's wows them quite as much, mainly just because of how Disneyland's is executed, where it comes out from the ground. It literally comes out of nowhere. It's a surprise to those that haven't seen it before. I talked about that a bit last week. And the fireworks, I think, are all really good, too. So, overall, I think the entertainment in Disneyland is pretty good and rounded. DCA, I think, could use one more thing to be better, because right now it really only has one thing, which is World of Color, which is great, but I don't think that's enough of a nighttime offering. But we'll get to that later. So I want to talk a little bit about Buena Vista Street and Hollywood Land combined, since they're very similar in theming. Okay, so let's start off with the Buena Vista Street, since it's the new toy, so to speak, that's coming in. Basically, it's going to be 1920s LA, so when Walt first arrived, with the replica of the red car trolley going from the park entrance all the way around the Carthay Circle over to Hollywood Tower of Terror. You're also going to have the Carthay Circle Theater, which the real one is where Snow White and Fantasia first premiered. So I think this is a good thing. We're going to have a new partner statue of a younger Walt with Mickey, as if they've first gotten to California and they're looking at their future. And the new entrance turnstiles, which actually have been in operation for a while now, that look like the Pan Pacific Auditorium entrance. In my opinion, it looks better than the ones for Disney Hollywood Studios in Florida. And actually, from what I understand here, the new side entrance will be, the side walkway from the entrance, once you get through the turnstile around the backside of Soarin', is going to start getting into effect here. Might actually already be in effect. This way they can do more of the Buena Vista Street construction and not have to do one half the street at a time. It'll be faster. So I'm excited for this. Buena Vista Street as a whole, I really like it. The concept art looks amazing. I'm excited. Hollywood Pictures Backlot. This is very similar to the Disney Hollywood Studios in Florida, where it's kind of the anything goes section, at least as it is as the backlot. You've got the Tower of Terror, which is actually really, really, really well themed. The Animation Building, which definitely works. That should not go anywhere. Muppet Vision 3D, which is definitely a fun attraction. I kind of hope they update it with the new Muppet movie coming out soon. It'd be kind of nice to get an update after 11 years, and that's just how long it's been at Disneyland. I know it was at Disney World even before that, so hopefully we'll get an update to that attraction. Monsters, Inc., Mike and Sully to the Rescue. While technically you can argue that you're in the Toon Studios at that point, the current facade does not fit the Hollywood feel. Now, here's where my earlier mentioning of bring Toontown over to DCA comes in. I think that it would be really neat if they had two entrances to Toontown. via Hollywood Land, as it's soon going to be. I think it'd be really cool if you had a replica of the Ink and Paint Club from Who Framed Roger Rabbit, where it's a restaurant that is a Toon Review restaurant, so characters will go out on stage and do little performances. All Disney characters, no Warner Brothers or anything. Might even be kind of funny to watch Mr. Incredible versus Captain America or something like that. That could be entertaining. And then, so you can enter that restaurant from both the Toontown that's been moved, essentially, and from Hollywoodland, since that was one of the few things that could happen in the movie. The other entrance, I think, should be just like in the movie, where you have a tunnel that goes from Hollywood / LA into Toontown. I think it'd be really cool if they move Toontown, you have the, you know, you have Who Framed Roger Rabbit, you could put Monsters, Inc. in there and it would work. I think that would actually be a really smart idea. If you kind of had that section be Toontown, with only like a tunnel entrance, I think that would actually be a really good way to make this work out and keep Monsters, Inc., because it's actually a pretty decent attraction. And then keep Who Framed Roger, or the Roger Rabbit cartoon spin. Keep the Mickey and Minnie house to meet and greet. Don't keep Chip and Dale. I think that Toontown would serve a better purpose in California Adventure. And then they could also take out the Gadgets Go coaster, since they're going to have Mike and Sully to the rescue. And then apart from that, you could also, after you move Toontown, you can put like a new Villains Land up where Toontown is in Disneyland. But overall, I think that it would be a smart game plan to have Toontown be part of the Hollywood LA sections of California Adventure. And if they were to rework where the bus loading and unloading is, I think they could put it kind of in that section, with Monsters, Inc. being one of the first attractions and then the Roger Rabbit cartoon spin being farther back. Is it possible? Yes. Is it probable? No. Which is unfortunate, because I think that it would serve a much better purpose in DCA, as well as freeing up some much-needed space in Disneyland. We all know DCA needs more attractions and more things to do, and I think that that would actually really help, especially since right now DCA has two dark rides. They'll have 2.5 if you count Radiator Springs Racers. That's just my thoughts on the whole section. Other than that, I also want to have a decent talk about, why is the name escaping my head right now? Grizzly Peak Recreational Area, so we'll move on to that in just a second here. The other thing I was thinking for Hollywood Area is a cavalcade similar to the Stars and Motor Cars, much shorter, but I think it would actually be kind of neat to have some of the stars come out in cars in that area. So, without further ado, Grizzly Peak Recreational Area. So, the new Grizzly Peak re-theme that's rumored to happen, I think, is a good thing. It would take the current Soarin' area, which is just the Condor Flats, and it would retheme that area to be part of the Grizzly Peak Recreational Area. The Redwood Creek Challenge Trail with the Up retheme that just recently happened, I think, was a really good thing, especially with the rumors of the living animatronic of Kevin being there. I think that's a good idea, as well as having Carl in there. I mean, you already have Russell and Doug in there, so I think it'd be really cool to have Kevin and Carl in there as well for meet and greets. And actually what they did was actually really smart and well done, and what a lot of us had thought they should do for a while. Grizzly River Run. There's rumors that they're going to bore a hole, like a tunnel, through the mountain. And if this were to happen, there's also rumors that the Country Bears could make a comeback down there. Not with the same attraction, but it could happen in some way, shape, or form. There's also rumors of animatronic bears getting added to the Grizzly Peak ride, and I think those would all be really helpful for the theme of the area. I'm also going to talk about the Bugs Land right now because it, well, it's small and it's kind of the Toontown of DCA with even more just plain worthless attractions. The only thing any decent in there is the It's Tough to Be a Bug. Everything else is kind of just throwaway trash. It's okay. They had to have something, but if they were to move Toontown in here, they wouldn't really need this anymore, and it could become something else, so that'd be a good thing. As a whole, I don't think the Bugs Land is really a good thing to have. Now, as for the whole idea of a re-theme, I think it's a good thing. There's also rumors of the road, like the section of the parade corridor that goes from Carthay Circle to the Paradise Pier main plaza. There's rumors that that's going to be rethemed to the El Camino Real, and I think that's actually a good idea too. Right now it's just kind of a plain concrete, and it's extremely wide, and it's part of the biggest parade route ever in Disney history. I think it'd be a good idea to change things up around there. So, without any further ado, let's just move on to Paradise Pier and Pacific Wharf. So, for Paradise Pier, let's start with the Pacific Wharf, because it doesn't really have any attractions. There's rumors of a Ghirardelli Chocolate Factory, I think that's how you pronounce it, replacing what was the Mission Tortilla Factory, which closed. Other than that, Pacific Wharf is kind of a joke. It's really well themed, but there's just nothing there to do, which is why I'm glad that it's going to kind of be just a buffer between the main drag of Cars Land and the rest of the park, because really there is nothing to do there. Now, as for Paradise Pier, I think that it would actually be really smart of them to take the King Triton's carousel and move it over to basically between where the Little Mermaid is now and where Goofy Sky School is. Kind of help make a nice Little Mermaid themed area. And then I think it might be nice if they swapped the Jumping Jellyfish with the Golden Zephyr. I think both attractions would be good to keep, but I think they should swap places to just help make a small Little Mermaid 3-ride subsection of Paradise Pier. Goofy Sky School, I don't really understand how it fits the theme of Paradise Pier anymore. It doesn't work. Paradise Garden Grill and the Boardwalk Pizza and Pasta. So the whole Paradise Gardens area is beautiful. I couldn't praise that area any more than is humanly possible, so I think that's an important area to keep. Thank goodness the Malibuver's gone. My most recent map from the park still shows it. But thank goodness it's gone. The Mickey's Fun Wheel retheme I think is good. The California Screamin', keep it. Put something else where the carousel used to be. Put some kind of a shoot the chutes where Malibuver was, although that'll be difficult with the World of Color infrastructure in now. Would have been smart to figure it out before the whole retheme. So I don't know exactly what they're going to decide to do, but I think they should do something. And now let's get talking about Cars Land, because I've got a few ideas there that could help make it an even better land than I think it will be already. So, without further ado, Cars Land. Okay, so with Cars Land, I think that Radiator Springs Racers is a really good idea. I think it has a lot of promise. I think that bringing back the flying tires is a good idea. I actually am really excited about that. Maters, not so much. I think it'll be an okay attraction, but with the Francis Ladybug Boogie not too far away from it, I mean, I think if you look at the map, they're basically gonna be just on the other side of, you know, trees. So why have two very similar rides that close to each other? I know Disneyland did it with the Astro Orbiter and Dumbo, but I'm not gonna say, well, just because they did it in Disneyland, that means they can do the same mistake in Disney California Adventure. I think that they should learn from the mistake and not put the same ride, essentially, right next to each other. That said, if you're going to keep one or the other, keep Mater and not let Francis, because Mater is more complex with the whip involved. And with it having Route 66, I think it's a really good theme. Now, I think they could take Autopia and put it in here. I think it would be a really fun way to make Autopia better, and that way you still have Autopia, you're not getting rid of Autopia, but it'll fit its area a lot more than it does in Tomorrowland. There's also, I was looking at the D23 map, and there was supposed to be a Herbie ride. I think they could incorporate Herbie somehow in Cars Land as well, and that would be a really cool nod to the past if they did that. Is it likely? No. Would it be amazing? And is it possible? Yes. So in a nutshell, that's what I'm thinking they should do there. It's really limiting to theme a land to just one movie franchise. They could have done that in other parks with, you know, Frontierland, but they didn't. Fantasyland could be themed to just Sleeping Beauty, but it's not. It's themed to a European village that they can all live in. So I think that if they at least brought Herbie into Cars Land somehow, I think that would be really neat and a nice little nod to the past. And then, you know, as I said, Autopia would be a great fit in there, and it would open up the Autopia path in Tomorrowland for something else that's more futuristic. So, that's how I think things can fit in the various different places of the Disneyland Resort as they are. Now, one thing I want to talk about is DCA's Nighttime Entertainment. Right now they have World of Color, and they have Electronica. Rumor is Electronica, when it ends its run, and I can't remember exactly when that's supposed to be. Last I knew, it was supposed to be around now, but it could be even later. It might have been extended through next spring or something, but the rumor is that it's going to be replaced with an Alice in Wonderland theme party, which, while neat, will still clash with the Buena Vista Street and Hollywood Land theming, and I really don't want massive theme clashing going on. It just seems un-Disney. It seems, you know, Universal to do that. Or Six Flags. It seems like they would do that. That doesn't seem like the kind of thing Disney would willingly do. But the biggest thing that I want to have happen with California Adventure for Nighttime Entertainment is some kind of extra thing besides World of Color that's an entertainment show. Not a nightclub, but a show. Whether that's a cavalcade of the cars in Cars Land, to Shaboom, or whether that's the electrical parade coming back. Just picture that scene where they first turn on the music and the lights at night, and imagine how cool it would be to see that live. So, with all that said, I think I want to introduce all of you a little later in this episode to a new piece of music that's 3D audio, so when you're listening to it, make sure that you use headphones, otherwise you won't get the full feel for it, and it is truly an amazing thing. In a nutshell, this is what I think of how things fit at the current resort. I also think that a third park over where the Toy Story lot is now would be a good idea. And one of these days I'll get to uploading my designs, or well, they're really just sketches of where I think things could fit, of what new attractions could happen to Disneyland and DCA, and then also what I think they could do to the entire resort. I'll try to remember what everything was from a few years ago, and I'll upload those online, and I'll put descriptions, and if anyone wants to comment on them, please, you know, just feel free to. So, that's about that. So I think next I'll give you guys that new piece of music. This piece is called Upular. It's by Pogo. I'll put a link online to the YouTube feed. But this tune is just amazing. So I'm going to fade out of this background music I've got going, and then Upular will start, and make sure you have your stereo headphones in for this, because it will blow your mind away. No joke. So, without any further ado, just wait a few more seconds for Upular to begin. Give you shivers. That was just amazing. So once again, that was Upular by Pogo, and that was in 3D, at least 3D audio. I think that's going to be a new thing, and I like it. I thought I'd introduce that to you guys. So I want to give a shout out to the Zippity Doo Pod for inspiring me to start up this podcast. I also want to give a shout out to Gary from the Mouse Lounge podcast. If it weren't for him mentioning where he got his copy of Song of the South, I would not have been able to see it. And I want to give a shout out to a couple Twitter feeds. At Main Street Jake, at Mycroft16, at Holly Madison. I'm sure that one probably shocked you because, as most of you probably know, she's one of the Playboy bunnies, but she has a Club 33 membership and she is an epic Disney fan. She talks more about Disney than anything else on Twitter feed, so that's why I'm giving her a shout out as well. And I also want to give a shout out to at Harold Snowman. It's the Harold animatronic from the Matterhorn. That feed is pretty entertaining to watch. There's quite a few of the animatronics seem to have come to life on Twitter. It seems to be the nexus of Disney, so I think you guys will all like it. To get a hold of the show, you can like the Facebook page. So that's, you know, look for A Spoonful of Disney on Facebook and like it. And I don't have a way for voicemails yet. I'm going to work on trying to figure something out on that. But in the meantime, you can always follow me on Twitter, which is at Wraith Kelso. That's at WRAITHKELSO. And that's my Twitter feed. You can also email the show at aspoonfulofdisney@hotmail.com. And the show is also now on iTunes in the iTunes podcast directory. So you can look for the show there to subscribe there. Now for our future episodes, I'm going to give a review of Song of the South, where I'll also deconstruct it and look at exactly what is true about it, what is rumored about it. I'll also give some good audio of it. It's a good movie. And so you can look forward to that. That'll probably be episode 3 or 4. And I'm also going to be starting up my Disney Legends series in episode 3 or 4. And in that series, we'll be looking at individuals from Disney's history who have been dubbed as Disney Legends. So Walt Disney, his brother Roy, the nephew Roy, the Sherman brothers, Alan Menken, John Lasseter, Tony Baxter, and other Disney legends. We'll probably also look at Fess Parker and Wally Bogue as well. And the first episode in the series of Disney Legends will be the Sherman Brothers, without whom we wouldn't have a podcast name this awesome. And I'll also want to take a look at the various stage shows Disney has put on throughout the years at the Disneyland Resort, and that'll also include parades and fireworks spectaculars, and also take a look at the various stage productions, both on Broadway and at local theaters. For instance, Seattle just had Aladdin, and that wasn't run by Disney Theatrical, that was just a one-off shoot, but I would like to take a look at that as well, especially to compare it to the DCA version. And we'll also be taking a look at news and rumors. I think once a month I'll have that. And I'll also do a probably once a month mailbag episode. So supersized mailbag episodes. And I'm hoping that on the Disney Legends episodes I'll be able to have some guest stars. Whether they're other podcast hosts or just people I know that are Disney fans, so you can hopefully look forward to guest stars on those episodes, and I'll let you know ahead of time on the Facebook page. The other thing I want to say is that the Facebook page will act as the show website for now. I'll put show notes there, pictures there, until I get my own web domain. That website will act as the show site. So make sure you go to Facebook.com/A Spoonful of Disney. Like it. You'll get the updates for when new episodes are out on Facebook. And I'll be able to put show notes. And yeah, so with that, just have a great day. And remember to come back for episode 3, which will be Song of the South or Disney Legends, whichever comes first. Thank you.
suddenly I see, standing here, it's all so clear, I'm where I'm meant to be. And at last I see the light, and it's like the fog has lifted. And at last I see the light, and it's like the sky is new. Everything looks different now that I see you.
Chasing down a daydream, all those years living in a blur, all that time never truly seeing things the way they were. Now she's here, shining in the starlight. Now she's here, suddenly I know. If she's here, it's crystal clear, where I'm meant to go. And at last I see the light, and it's like the fog is lifted. And at last I see the light.